Okay, so we're going back to the paper that basically everything since is built on, and I still think it's wild how short the contribution sounds when you say it out loud.
Right.
Like, we threw out recurrence and convolutions and just used attention. That is the whole pitch.
That's the pitch. But the reason it worked is the part people undersell. Before this, the dominant sequence models were RNNs, LSTMs, GRUs, and the fundamental constraint wasn't quality, it was sequentiality.
Mm-hmm.
An RNN factors computation along the symbol positions of the input. You compute hidden state, HT, as a function of H prime T minus 1 and the input at position T. That inherently precludes parallelization within a training example. At longer sequence lengths, memory constraints limit how much you can batch across examples. So you're stuck paying a sequential cost that doesn't actually buy you anything except the ability to call it a recurrent model.
And the convolutional alternatives, Convest2S, ByteNet, tried to fix the parallelism problem, but the number of operations to relate two arbitrary positions still grew with distance, linearly for Convest2S, logarithmically for ByteNet. So, learning long-range dependencies stayed hard.
Exactly. And the transformer cuts that to a constant number of operations, regardless of distance. That's the lever. The whole claim isn't attention is elegant. It's attention is constant cost and parallelizable, and the quality holds.
Which, honestly, explains why it won. Like 12 hours on 8 P100s to state-of-the-art on translation? That's the sentence that made every lab with GPUs sit up.
Yeah, and it's worth saying, attention wasn't new in this paper. Attention had been an integral part of compelling sequence models for a while. The contribution here is dropping everything else. To the author's knowledge, this is the first transduction model relying entirely on self-attention. No sequence-aligned RNNs, no convolution.
Okay, so walk me through the architecture, because I want to make sure I actually have the shape right.
Sure. Standard encoder-decoder. Encoder maps input symbols x1 through xn to a sequence of continuous representation z. Decoder then generates output y1 through ym, one element at a time, autoregressively. Each step consumes the previously generated symbols.
Right.
The encoder is a stack of 6 identical layers. Each layer has 2 sublayers, a multi-head self-attention mechanism, and a position-wise, fully connected feed-forward network. Residual connection around each sublayer, then layer norm. So, the output of each sublayer is layer norm X plus sublayer X. All sublayers and embeddings produce outputs of dimension D model equals 512. That keeps the residual connections clean.
And the decoder?
Also 6 layers, but with a 3rd sublayer that performs multi-head attention over the encoder stack's output. And the self-attention sublayer is modified to mask future positions, combined with offsetting output embeddings by 1 position. That ensures predictions at position I can only depend on known outputs at positions less than I. Standard autoregressive trick.
Okay, scaled dot product attention. This is the part I want to make sure I have right.
The framing is clean. An attention function maps a query and a set of key value pairs to an output. You compute the dot product of the query with all keys, divide by sqrt(dk), apply a softmax to get weights on the values, and the output is a weighted sum of the values.
Why divide by sqrt(dk)?
Honestly, not much in the paper itself. The methodology is sound. The ablations are honest. They show that multi-head helps, that the scaling factor matters, that the number of heads is a real knob. The thing I'd flag is just that the paper is operating in a regime that looks almost quaint now. 512 dimensions, 6 layers, 8 heads. Everything since has scaled these up by orders of magnitude and discovered new failure modes the original paper couldn't have seen.
Sure, but that's true of basically every foundational paper. You can only evaluate what you can build.
Right. And the contribution holds. The constant cost dependency modeling, the parallelization win, the encoder-decoder shape, all of that survived contact with scale.
Okay, This is the part where I have to be honest about something. I read this paper for the first time years after it came out. And the thing that struck me wasn't the math. It was how much of modern AI is downstream of one architectural choice. Like GPT, BERT, T5. Basically, everything we've talked about on this show for 9 months is a transformer with knobs turned.
That's not even an overstatement. The decoder stack gave you GPT-style autoregressive models. The encoder stack gave you BERT. The encoder-decoder stack gave you T5 and BART, and most translation systems. Every modern frontier model is a transformer with some combination of those pieces.
And the position-wise feed-forward, people forget that the FFN sublayer is where most of the parameters live. The attention is the famous part, but the FFN is the bulk of the model's capacity.
That's a genuinely good point, and one the paper itself doesn't dwell on. Each layer's feed-forward is D-model times DFF, with DFF at 2048. So the FFN has 4 times the parameters of the attention block. The attention is the routing. The FFN is the memory.
Okay, I love that framing. The attention routes, the FFN stores.
Yeah, and that has implications for everything from MoE architectures, where you basically make the FFN conditional, to interpretability, where a lot of the interesting structure lives in FFN neurons rather than attention patterns.
So if you were designing the architecture today, knowing everything we know now, what would you do differently?
Honestly, probably not much at the architectural level. Maybe rotary position embeddings from the start, maybe pre-norm instead of post-norm. Those are clean wins. But the core shape is right.
Yeah, that tracks. The paper got the shape right, and the field has spent 9 years tuning the details.
And honestly, for a paper that's 9 years old and still load-bearing, that's the strongest possible evidence the contribution was real.
All right, this has been a fun one. Going back to the source material for once instead of talking about the 20th paper that cites it.
Yeah, no, I appreciated this. Sometimes you need to reread the thing itself.
Same time next week?
Yeah, let's do it.